You are listening to the Two and Out CFL Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Well, here we are in April already. I'm Travis Curra. He is Sheldon Jones. Did any jokes get you, Sheldon?
Not really. There wasn't really that many this year. I saw this afternoon that Piffles put out a joke that the Riders signed Chase Claypool, but I didn't see any, so nothing really got me. How about you?
Well, I think back in the day, I think the best jokes are rooted in reality. Now they're just companies coming up with things that are so crazy that they there's no way that they could be real. Although there's a podcast I'm a fan of, and they put out a post on Instagram today saying that the show is ending due to creative differences, and my heart sunk. And then I read to the end of the post, so that was pretty good. But I feel like at least I work in the radio world, and since the pandemic and since 2020, we've kind of thought that maybe our jokes should be more harmless.
Because, yeah.
Especially in 2020, I think we all collectively were like, I don't think we're in the mood for jokes. Although humor is a good medicine that way. Yeah. So I feel like things have gotten a little bit more harmless since then. But we are 10 days removed from the CFL Combine in Winnipeg. I've always had my dream to do a spring two and out combine. I don't know what we would do.
It involves drinking a bunch of Diet Coke. Sign me up.
The podcast has lasted so long, and we're so open on this show with our lifestyles and things like that. I've had surgery since the pod started. Brazilian Ty had his gallbladder removed. I mean, it seems like this is not a good place to be, Sheldon. If trends continue, you're next, brother.
Yeah, well, I am working on something right now, so maybe next year I'll actually be able to do a 40-yard dash. Okay.
My time would have been pretty good pre-back surgery. Back when I was in junior high, I made it to the city relay team. And if there was like a wasp nest at the starting line, I would be like a rocket to the finish. But back then, my trademark was not having a belt, so my pants were I'd have to hold my pants up the whole time down the track, so I'm pumping with one arm. If I had both, then my time, I probably would have shaved, I don't know, a couple tenths of a second off of it.
See, I could do a good 5-yard dash. I think I'm pretty quick off the line. From when I played O-line and stuff, I got off the ball pretty quick. Yeah, so I think I could do a quick 5-yard dash, but then I'm probably tripping over myself, and then I'm the Peter Griffin. That would just be me, and you could time how long that takes, I guess.
Three Down Nation had a great recap and everything they do Canadian football on their website. There were some players that maybe their stock has fallen a little bit, but just a couple guys to highlight. There's the running back out of Delaware State, Michael Chris Ike. He won the broad jump, the three-cone drill, the short shuttle, and he tied for first in the 40-yard dash with Ben LaBrosse, the defensive back out of McGill. They ran 4.51s, the exact same 40-yard time. So an impressive athlete in the draft, running back Michael Chris Ike. We'll see what that does to his draft stock. Of course, we've got Brady Oliveira, Johnny Augustine, Adebaboye in Toronto. There's been a crop of Canadian running backs, I would say even over the past decade, if you want to go to John Cornish. And it seems to be a game changer if you can have a good athlete in your backfield making those plays, Sheldon.
Oh yeah, like I loved a Canadian running back. Usually it's a fullback, like here in Ryderville. I know we had Messam, but that kind of didn't end so well.
Don't
But
say that, man.
yeah, but I have to say, my dad will be very upset with me if we're talking about the combine stuff, and I didn't mention the guy in the NFL combine who broke the record for the 40-yard dash. I can't remember his name, so sorry, Dad, but here I'm talking about it on the podcast. You're welcome.
Is there lighting the correct Kelvin temperature? I don't know. I didn't adjust that.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah. How's this, Father? Is that better? Is that better? I like this one.
It come to YouTube and you can see the production value going up. We have a new biggest fan, Sheldon's dad. Maybe we should get him on the pod, I think. Do you think he would come on the pod?
Sure. Maybe. We could have him and Brazilian Ty's mom on the same episode.
Now, over the past few years, there's been Touchdown Atlantic and a lot of focus on that 10th team. Now, I'm not going anywhere with that. I don't think there's any news on that front. And I think in this case, maybe no news is bad news, unfortunately. Now, this one doesn't include a 10th team, but Sheldon, I just kind of think that maybe the focus is going to be all West Coast in 2024. And things have been exciting in BC for a while, and I do feel like they've been able to sort of maintain that excitement, even though Nathan Rourke went to the NFL. He's probably not coming back. They've got Vernon Adams Jr. for another 3 years. Last year, a career year, I would say, for him. And he's coming into his own as a better and better leader. And they've got him for 3 more years. And I think this is a pretty good window for the Lions at the moment. And the energy on the West Coast seems awesome. Touchdown Pacific is happening Labor Day weekend in Victoria. They're expecting over 14,000 people. The game sold out in less than an hour. I think it's awesome that they're going to be involved in Labor Day weekend. They're playing Ottawa, and which, by the way, this is their 10th year being back in the league. I saw an all-decade team of Ottawa Red Blacks. If that doesn't show you that time's flying by, I don't know what does, man.
Well, the pandemic was like 69 years, so.
That's nice.
The one thing I do want to say about Touchdown Pacific, though, is it is very impressive seeing it sell out in under an hour. And this isn't a homer take or anything, but with the riders not involved, it selling out that quickly is a big thing. Because why do you think they had the riders in most of the Touchdown Atlanta games? Is because they knew that rider fans would travel.
I
And
do think
I
that was
know.
by design, yeah.
Yeah. And I know that this is really close to the base in Vancouver there, but again, like when you're trying to sell tickets to a football game Labor Day weekend on Vancouver Island, which is a lot of people go there for vacation, not to go there to go to a football game. So it's awesome
Yeah.
that this is happening, and hopefully they can make this a yearly thing. Like, I don't know if Victoria is viable for a franchise. I'm not sure, but if they could get a game there every year to add to their bottom line and selling it out, and like you said, things are trending up in BC, and let's be honest, things are kind of starting to maybe trend down in Winnipeg a little bit. Their Calgary and Edmonton is,
Whoa, 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 whoa. Like Winnipeg on the field, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. On the field. No, yeah, but
Okay.
what I'm saying
Yeah,
is, I'm
they're the
saying like now
model
is
right
the,
now, yeah.
yeah, no, but I'm saying like on the field, like they're trending slightly downward. Calgary and Edmonton aren't the powerhouses they used to be. The Riders had a low year. They have a new regime change. So like now is the time for BC to like strike while the iron's hot, I feel.
Now here's a question. The Bombers have been in the Grey Cup for 4 straight years, 2 wins, 2 losses. Would you want to go to the Grey Cup like 3, 4 times in a row if you're gonna lose every time? I don't know if my heart could take it. Now the Bombers got 2 wins out of it, so of course I would take that.
The
But
players get extra money too, so of course they're going to take the playoff money
yeah.
there, right?
And
So
I guess I mean if
Are you trying to make a Cody Rhodes thing here? Because if you are, I'm going to get really mad. I was going to wait till the end, but...
Who finishes the story first, the Ty Cats or Cody Rhodes? I hope it's the Ty Cats. But you know what? I guess I would take my team losing in the Grey Cup than having a terrible regular season, even though the loss of the Grey Cup
I don't
just...
know.
That's if sick you're gonna, feeling. It's terrible.
If I'm going to lose, like going to the Grey Cup once and losing, you know, that sucks, but at least you have the high of going to a Grey Cup. But if you're going to perennially not win the Grey Cup,
yeah,
you're not like losing enough games so that you're actually like getting like high draft picks and stuff like that. So I think if the team's going to crap the bed, I think one time in the Grey Cup's cool, but I don't want them to go back to back and lose.
Over.
And
yeah,
that's why Cody Rhodes will win this year. So.
Like in hockey, I would much rather, yeah, you know what? I'd rather miss the playoffs than lose in game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. I have no shame seeing
that. Yeah, hockey's a little different because, but you gotta, yeah, hockey's crazy, man. Like,
it is.
The Stanley Cup playoffs are crazy.
Yeah, but, yeah. Now,
yeah, I agree. The crushingness of losing a Game 7 Stanley Cup, yeah, that would... I don't want that.
The Grey Cup is happening just a few months after Touchdown Pacific in Vancouver. So that's why I say the focus on the West Coast kind of thing. And it was released that the 110th Grey Cup in Hamilton has been named the Canadian event of the year. I don't even know if any of this stuff is legit, but they estimate $73.5 million of economic impact in Hamilton. So we'll see what happens in Vancouver. There's a lot of people that return to the Grey Cup because it's indoors. The weather is just more mild on the West Coast. So a lot of people flock to the Vancouver Grey Cups and kind of skip some of the outdoor ones that could be iffy, even if it's Regina or Hamilton, just because of the hotel situation. Although on the West Coast, it's not a cheap trip, man. It seems like the cheapest thing is the trip out there, and the accommodations are they're not cheap on the West Coast unless you know somebody. Yeah, look at you. Yeah. Look at you. Hot shot Sheldon Jones. There have been a few extensions since we last recorded in early March, and just today learning that the Rough Riders have extended Sam Emelis, the big Canadian receiver. I think he was getting some NFL looks, but it does look like he's staying in Regina. Some flashes of brilliance in 2023, some big games, some big moments and massive catches, and then some quiet periods. I think if he's got some consistent quarterback play, if they keep Trevor Harris healthy, that would go a long way for him having another, I guess, big year emerging in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I think part of his hot start was that he was used to playing with Mason Fine and with Jake Dolagala because, you know, this was his first year as a starter, right? The year before he was kind of in a backup role and probably playing on the scout offense or anything like that. So there probably was some familiarity there, but yeah, if having Trevor Harris throw to you instead of having a backup quarterback throw to you is a better recipe for success there. So hopefully for the Riders' sake, Harris can stay healthy and Mark Mueller can create a nice offense that can get Sam lots of looks because the Riders have a very explosive receiving core. And if they can get that ball out of Trevor's hands fast and limit the amount of times he's going to get hit, that could be a lot of yards for these receivers, especially Sam Emelis.
Now, Tim White has also been extended by the Hamilton Tiger Cats. This one took a little bit, but back-to-back 1,200-yard seasons in the Hammer. And last year, his average yards per catch was almost 17 yards. So one of the biggest threats in the CFL, back-to-back years with 8 touchdowns. Maybe this is the year he gets the double digits and maybe does have another 1,200-yard season. But He's getting paid handsomely by the Tiger Cats. Another $300,000 receiver, Sheldon.
Good for him, man. Hey, I'm never gonna fault a player for getting paid, but when you're getting paid $300,000 as a receiver in the Canadian Football League, like, there is a huge expectation, because we've seen some players, you know, sign for those big deals and then they, you know, flame out a little bit, like Lawler in Edmonton a couple years ago kind of rings a bell, and kind of Geno, but he came back a little bit there. So, you know, good for him. I hope that he shows the Ticats fans that he's earning that amount of money, because if not, it's going to get pretty rough there. So I hope it works out.
I think a lot of the offseason focus now is shifted to Edmonton and what's going to happen with the Elks. Now, last week, this is just on the field stuff. As a season ticket holder, received an email, and they put the news out there that they'll be celebrating 75 years of football in Edmonton. And man, I think that one of the biggest criticisms of that franchise, at least from longtime season ticket holders, is that they haven't been as connected or embracing as their past, to their past with the name change. But man, they've got a lot of celebrations going on for the 75th season. They're having a gala dinner 2 days before the home opener, which is against the Riders on June 8th. They're going to have Dave Cutler, Tom Wilkinson, Brian Kelly, Hugh Campbell, Gizmo, Damon Allen, Ricky Ray, Sean Fleming, Michael Riley, all in attendance for there. They've unveiled their 75th anniversary logo already. They're going to release an all-decades team over the course of the season, covering the seven decades of the Edmonton football team, an all-time team. But I think the big cloud over this season is, this 75th season going to be the last season of community-owned football in Edmonton, which is very, very interesting. Now, we'll get to that. I guess we should talk about some of the on-field stuff. They've made it official that Jason Shivers is going to be their DC as the Elks finalized their coaching staff a few weeks ago. Probably the worst-kept secret when it came to coaching changes in the CFL, especially once the Riders brought in Corey Mace, because Shivers is a Jones guy, Sheldon.
Yes, he is. Sorry, I don't have much more than that. He is a Jones guy. I liked him when he was here. I thought he was one of the upcoming young coaches in this league, but obviously, you know, back-to-back seasons where his defenses kind of fell off in the second half of the seasons, and I don't know if that's because the head coach was putting in too much stuff into his defensive play calling. I don't know, but I think a fresh start is what Jason needs here, and it's familiarity going back to Chris Jones. So I think Elks fans should be excited, because he's proven that he can have a good defense and a mean defense, to be honest, a ball hawking defense. So hopefully it works out for the Elks and their fans, because Elks fans need a win. They need multiple wins, actually.
Yeah. If they can get a home win like in June, I think it would be big for getting fans out to the park during this season. We don't want to see what it's like in Oakland when it comes to the Athletics, you know. But I don't think there's any pending relocation of the Elks here. But I think there's a lot of questions this offseason with Trey Ford. And I don't know if you saw the quote from G. Roy Simon. He said he's basically not ready to be the face of the organization. And Chris Jones saying that they're not fielding offers for Trey Ford. And they've been clear in saying that Trey Ford is the long-term answer. But for the next couple years at least, McLeod Bethel Thompson's going to come in, and he's going to be the leader, and he's going to be the consistent passer. He is what he is. We know what to expect from McLeod Bethel Thompson. But I guess with the way things work in the CFL and the one-year contracts and the way people want to go home and play in front of their friends and family, I don't know if that long-term answer thing really flies. I don't know if it's possible to hang on to a guy for 4 years and develop him into the role anymore.
I think it is, but you have to do it right. And this to me is not doing it right. I feel like G. Ray Simon, he's not wrong with what he's saying, but I think he said the quiet part out loud that he shouldn't have, because if I'm Trey Ford and a coach tells me, you know, one-to-one, hey, you're just not ready, but we have faith in you and we're gonna make you ready, that's one thing. But to say to the media, hey guys, he's not the guy yet, that's putting an awful lot of pressure on him, like, because he's gonna get fielded questions. Oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And then with Jones not taking offers for him, like, as a Rider fan, that just makes me think of players like Nick Dembski, like Andy Fantuz, like, you know, players who we drafted and then they played well for us, but then, you know, they decided to go home or go somewhere else, and then they had even better careers, right? And so I don't want the Elks fans to lose out on Trey Ford, because the bottom line is Trey Ford won the games last year. I know it's a team game, but the Elks didn't start winning until Trey Ford replaced Cornelius. So, I don't know, man. He could feel really disrespected here, and then he can just ride out his contract and then go to whoever wants to actually have faith in him.
Yeah, I think he's got a lot to learn probably as a passer and as a leader. But yeah, you know, saying that out loud is kind of interesting. I don't know if they're going to be able to hang on to him.
There's going to be another team that's going to need a quarterback, and they're going to probably be willing to take a gamble on him and see what he did in this last year. Like, look at, like, teams took a gamble on James Franklin. Teams took a gamble on Arbuckle. Teams took a gamble on... Those didn't
work, so maybe that's what the difference is.
But... none of the quarterbacks said, oh, James Franklin, he's not the guy yet, but maybe he'll be the guy some, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I think it's a tough spot for Trey, because he did all that he could last year. He was a team player. He stayed on the bench, even though every single week fans, media, why aren't you starting forward? Why aren't you starting forward? Then they do it, and then he has success. And then at the end of that season, instead of building on that success, no, we're going to bring in McLeod Bethel Thompson, because I don't know. I'm not saying it's a bad thing for them to bring in McLeod Bethel Thompson, but it's just like, I just feel for the kid. Like, I think he deserved a chance to at least have a chance to start, have a chance to grow into this player. And sometimes the leader of your team, it should be the quarterback, but sometimes maybe you have a different leader of the team and you play with the quarterback who's getting you to the dance, like, who's winning games, who, like, players rally around players like that. So I don't know. It's just another Chris Jones is interesting. Seems like it's rubbing off on G. Roy here maybe a little bit. He's always good for a quote. So
yep.
We'll see what happens. Like, Chris Jones has been right before. He's been wrong before, so we'll see what happens.
Now, the other, I guess I sort of mentioned it, the other big news is in Edmonton, like, it really looks like, now, Tom Richards is the chairman of the board in Edmonton. He said they're not quite far along in the process right now, but they've said that 20 different people / parties have signed NDAs. So there's a lot of interest when it comes to the sale of the Elks and turning this thing private, which part of me is like, it's kind of exciting. We saw what happened in B BC or is happening in BC and sort of the revival there, even in Montreal, man. Last year, with the things that changed, and well, they got a new owner, not necessarily private, but or going private at that time. And it does seem like there are some groups that are just very dedicated to turning this thing around in Edmonton. They lost $3 million in 2022. Ticket sales were up last year, but still just bleeding money. And that whole, you know, pandemic just dried up the money. The struggles on the field dried up the money even more. And it really does look like it's going to be a private owner in Edmonton probably after this coming season. Which is interesting. That would leave two community-owned teams. That would be Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, and I can't really see those going private anytime soon, really. It would be really tough to pull off, but it does look like it's going to happen in Edmonton, man.
Yeah, I just hope that these you know, 16 to 20 parties that have signed these NDAs, I hope they're not people who think that they're going to get rich having a CFL team, because that's not what's going to happen. And it's rather interesting that probably the two most profitable teams are the community owned teams. So I don't know what the correlation is there, but these people, whoever end up purchasing the team, they need to know that they're going to have to spend money to make money. And they're not going to make a lot of money. So it kind of has, like, this owning the CFL, I think, has to be a passion project for people. Like, you look at, like, Bob Young and the new owner in Montreal. Like, these are passion projects for these people because, you know, they were fans and they wanted to own it. And maybe they're willing to take a loss here and there because they love that. So I just hope that is what's going to happen here. I'm very skeptical about the group of former players that are all banding together to own the team. Like, I don't, unless you have a big money backer who's willing to lose money, like, again, that's, I don't know if that's the route that Edmonton fans should want.
Do you it's very think interesting. That a new owner would try to put the name back? I just see a lot of chatter about that, but well, that might be social media noise.
It could be, but like, I think that there is, I don't want to say that. There's enough old white men that maybe might want to bring that name back, and maybe they have money, but
maybe
I think that would do a lot more damage than it could do any sort of good, because they've come to a place where they've made the name change. It was necessary, whether people think it was not or not, and they need to move forward. But that doesn't mean you forget about what that team did when they were known as a different name. And so, right, like you said before, like, that they're doing all this stuff celebrating the 75 years of Elks football and Edmonton football team. Like, I would be willing to bet that at least one of those parties would probably want to change the name.
Probably,
back.
Yeah.
I would be willing to bet that, but, and hopefully hopefully they realize that that's not a serious bid, because that's not good. But again, I hope that they find the right people, because you don't want them to have the team for a couple of years, and then it's a situation where they're trying to sell it to another person. And I know there's talk about a new stadium perhaps having to be built, but that's kind of like, I get that Commonwealth doesn't have the greatest sight lines, and you're far away from the field because of that track, but
I do think they need a new place to play. But as somebody who goes to Commonwealth, you know, 10 times a year, I just don't know where they're going to put it, any of that. So that's obviously, you know, in the very early stages. I think it would be ideal if they had a Mosaic, Princess Auto Field sized park in Edmonton. But I just don't think that might be 25 years away, if that, you know.
Well, but you just have to think, because if there's no way that – I don't think that stadium is nearing completion, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think it's old enough that the city is going to be willing to put money into a new stadium. So that's why I'm thinking, like, if
– I think it's 46 years old now, so –
Yeah, which it's getting up there, but I don't think it's falling apart per se.
No.
But so, like, if you had someone like, if Daryl Katz was one of these people who signed an NDA and, you know, a billionaire, and he could easily, you know, contribute $200 million to a new stadium. I say that easily, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you have somebody with that deep of pockets,
those always then seem that's one exciting thing. Like, but then talk to fans in Toronto and Calgary now. Like, it's exciting at first, and then, you know, they end up being...
Well, Toronto's been doing some good things.
There have been good words about them lately. Yeah. Not so much Calgary.
Especially because I think Tannenbaum is the one who actually really likes the Argos, I think. Is that who... Somebody on MLSC really likes the Argos.
So. One guy.
Yeah, like one, but you know, one guy's all you need when you have unlimited money, right? But in Calgary, like, Calgary's in a completely different situation. They do have those rich owners, and they absolutely need a new stadium, but they're still not, like, nothing's happening there, right? Yeah. Yet, as that we know of. So you're right. There's pros and cons to private ownership. But like I'm saying, these whoever this is, whoever purchases this team, they need to be willing to spend a lot of money before they're going to make money.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, I mean, that kind of catches you up. The CFL draft is coming up April 30th. I'm Travis Carrai. He's Sheldon Jones. And Sheldon, I guess I will be seeing you on Wednesday in the airport in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, as we head to the city of brotherly love for a WrestleMania 40. I should wear my Marty Brodeur jersey to Philly just to see how long it takes for somebody to get pissed off at me. I wore a Devils jersey to a Rangers game in, well, Rangers-Devils game at Madison Square Garden, and the guy at the that scanned my ticket, he said, "Don't wear that in Philly." So yeah, like maybe I'll leave that one in the closet.
I think we should just be our rider jerseys will be okay because they're close enough to
you be careful. I wore it in San Francisco and they thought I was a Jets fan until they actually started like examining and they saw the S and then they're like, I don't know where you're from, space or something.
Well, yeah, but but even if we're a Jets fan, they're AFC, yeah, they're NFC, not really, that doesn't matter. They're yeah, not.
Well,
that doesn't matter.
I think they kind of just crap on anyone that's not.
Yeah. I think, well, we definitely have to wear Rider jerseys for one thing, so we can ruin somebody's night,
I think Raw.
Yeah, well, remember last year at the Raw after WrestleMania, there was those guys in the front row who were wearing Rider jerseys.
We won't be in the front row, but we'll keep the streak going, yeah.
No, we should be visible. We should, yeah. Yeah, I will acknowledge you. Yeah, I'll acknowledge you.
Yeah, I've stopped talking about wrestling with you because it just ends up one of us getting mad. Especially me, so.
Well, yeah, because you just are a hater. Like, that's
why. I'm not a hater.
You're absolutely a hater.
You're hating what I want. So you're a hater, too.
No. I'm saying if what you want happens, I'll still be entertained. But if what I want happens, you won't be. So that's you being a hater.
I won't be. You're correct.
And, like, neither will Taylor. So then I'm just you guys are going to be all mad at me, like, on the subway back to the hotel.
If you're being a
like,
jerk about it, yes.
I won't be a jerk about it, but if Cody gets the 1-2-3 after, you know, Cena comes in and takes out Solo, after Austin comes in and takes out Rock, you guys have to acknowledge me.
No.
Yeah,
I have
absolutely.
never once told that you need to acknowledge
No, but
me.
I would acknowledge you. I'll acknowledge you. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just you have to trust the process here, Trav. You gotta trust the process here.
We'll see. We'll
There's
see.
still so much good that can happen between Rock and Roman without Roman having the title.
This
That's all
might
I'm
be
saying.
your last podcast. That's all I'm saying.
We need to have a live podcast in Philly after night two.
Oh man, yeah. We'll maybe send out a tweet with our rider gear at Raw. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
And there will be more people calling us idiots than enjoying it, but that's fine. All interaction is good interaction on social media.
Oh, well, there will be somebody who's going to be like, "Go Riders," because that happens
Yeah,
everywhere.
that's true. That's true.
Everywhere. Somebody will be excited for the Riders.
That's true. You can rate, review, and subscribe to Two and Out in your favorite podcatcher and YouTube as well. You can look at us on YouTube, and hey, you can support the show on Patreon as well. Spring is here, and CFL football is near. We will talk to you in a couple weeks on Two and Out.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.